a specific question on the male members of this committee. When we have women and water and forestry discussed here, all of a sudden they are not here. I can only speak to the apologies that I have received. And the only male that is not in here is Arantxa, who is in France. And the others, we would be interested to know why they are absent. That can't be the case of members of parliament. Males run away when we talk about women's issues. Yes. Sabayani is also not here. And Swati is not here. Musala is not here. The Shikelo sent an apology. And for the rest, they will be up to question why they did not go to the meeting. Nevertheless, I only remember from let's proceed. Just a few announcements before we proceed. The meeting that we wanted to have on Friday, that meeting is going to be cancelled because the reason why we wanted it on Friday no longer exists. So we will just be back to our meeting next Wednesday when we will deal with Brock's quarterly report. We were supposed as a committee to go to the Eastern Cape next week as part of the People's Assembly doing oversight before the People's Assembly activity. That no longer is happening, which means that we're not going to go there next week, and the reason why we cancelled our meeting for next week to be rather on Friday. So that's not there anymore. But what is going to happen is that Razia must just make a double show with everyone. And the arrangements are not going to be made by this committee. It's going to be made by somebody else in Parliament, or has been made. I think you can just double check with Razia your participation in it. Parliament is going to the Eastern Cape in Ljubljana next Sunday until the Wednesday, and then we'll be back at Parliament again. And the program that's going to be there, one of it is the unveiling of O.R. Tambo. I'm not so sure what they're going to unveil. But that's going to happen there. And then alongside that, as committees, we're supposed to be doing some sort of oversight. And then, of course, as you know, the People's Assembly always has this program of getting people from all over the country to come and discuss and all of that. And I'm sure that those things will probably still continue. From outside, as a committee, because there's not a lot of time to do oversight, we have yesterday decided that together with some other committees, we will do some joint venture things. A joint venture in this thing where we will go and look at the municipalities, the local municipality in Bizana, together with the district. We will go and look at the IDP, the growth and development summit commitment, and then look at all of it. It doesn't look like Parliament is going to give us more time. We've asked that Tuesday morning, then they give us more time. We're not quite sure if all of that's going to material. In any case, we've said that we'll do the best we can when we are there to at least do oversight in a way that could benefit both the people there and also ourselves. And so that is what we will do. But I trust that as the days are going to go ahead, you will get more information on. It's not all the committees in Parliament that are going. It's some committees that have been chosen to go there. So it's not the same like Oslo, where they took the entire Parliament. It's only certain committees that are going. But I am sure that you will get more information on that. I think it was just double check with the writer of if there are any other arrangements other than what they will be communicating to us. So that is on Bizana. and the Eastern Cape and the Oa Tambo district in particular that we are going to, as a People's Assembly, Parliament's Activity for People's Assembly. Any questions on this?
It's been done not years of this room sounds very white to place now. I'm saying, Mr. President, are you saying we're no longer going there as a committee, but we will attend the People Assembly?
Yes, as
Secretary
General. And that is simply because there's not enough time. I mean, they're giving us a half a day, they're going to be half a day. What can you do? I mean, really. And it's not our intention to go and upset people and don't make promises there and stuff like that. And so what we've decided to do is to rather see how can we use the time constructively. How can we make it more beneficial than what the case is? So that's where the other committees come in. So yesterday when some of the chairs met, we said let's do something together because from water safety and forestry, we are, you know, municipalities IDP concern us quite a bit as water safety and forestry. But so does transport also worry about IDP. So does environmental affairs. And so I can go through the list of all the different committees. So we have said that we should maybe do a joint thing. So when they do a presentation on the municipality's IDP, they won't cover water only. They'll cover everyone. So we will all be together in that way. Is that you understand now? Okay, we have been joined by more members. Just to reiterate, honourable members, I was very worried when we were in the meeting. I was very worried that the discussion was in water and forestry and the mayor of the society was not present. So welcome, Mayor of the
committee. My sincere apologies. My sincere apologies, Comrade Chairperson. With due respect to circumstances beyond my control.
That apology is not on behalf of Honorable Musala.
You're probably calling somebody here.
Tawaf, thank you very much for coming. DDG, Njele, let me hand over to yourself because the issue that we're going to be dealing with, as I said earlier on, is really looking at women and water. Of course, we would have wanted this to be in the month of August. We didn't quite have the time. Here we are. And as a commitment in looking at women's development, advancement, emancipation, and the role that the department also plays in this, this is the reason why we are having oversight on this topic today. Ms. Mzela, if you can introduce your delegation to the committee. Thank you very much, and then you can put it on last night.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Chair and honourable members. Next to me, I have Ms. Peggy Kumalo, Deputy Director in the Forestry Bench in the department. Chair, Ms. Nsizima Gazi, the gender focal point person in the department, will join us. I'm sure she's coming. She's supposed to be here. Okay. Good morning, members. The structure of the presentation, members, I'm going to be talking about gender global instruments, policy and strategic framework, that is the departmental framework, impact of priorities of the department on gender, on advancement of women, and the current projects that we're doing that will have an impact on women. Members, in terms of the global instruments, there are two key instruments. The first one is the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, that is CEDAW. The second one is the Beijing Declaration Platform of Action. We also have Agenda 21 and the Johannesburg Plan of Action. And in terms of the two key global instruments, the department has started a process of gender analysis and gender audit. That exercise aims to establish the number of women that are participating in water, health and forestry projects and programs, the extent of beneficiation, and the sustainability of the benefit in terms of their own well-being. The project is underway, and we intend to come back to members, to the portfolio committee, to give you the findings of that project. Also, members, it is important to know that these two key instruments have specific interest to the work of DOAF, particularly when we talk about equality in access to water, when we talk about environment and women, when we talk about power, decision-making and women, when we talk about women and poverty and rural women. So the specific strategic objectives contained in the two key instruments have relevance to DOAF. Also, in terms of the Johannesburg Plan of Action, members, there is a clause that requires departments and government in general to look at the involvement of women in planning and management of programs that are related to sustainable development. So there is also a relationship to sustainable development, and it raises a question for DOAF around water for sustainable development, and to what extent are we linking the work we're doing to that strategic objective. In the department members currently, we have a gender policy. The policy was developed during the time of Minister Kada Asma, and the policy is under review currently. Just to also to check to what extent have we been able to implement the spirit of that policy framework, and what are the gaps that need to be addressed within that policy framework. The second instrument in the department that we just developed is in the draft form, and also we intend to come back to you. We have just developed a strategic framework for gender and women empowerment, and the key, just to give you a brief indication of what is contained, what are the key strategic considerations. Also, what we're talking about in that document is the whole notion of information management for women issues. We're talking about capacity building. We're talking about economic empowerment. We're talking about social development. We're also talking about gender analysis and audit. But I will give you the full content of the document when we come for the second round. We are also busy with further consultations within the department. What we've done in the past, the document, the draft was presented to EXCO in the presence of the minister, and she said that there was more work to be done in terms of improving the document itself. So the process now, we are currently improving the document, which I think we should come back to the members and just present the framework. What is it all about, and how is it going to assist DOAF to advance women empowerment? Members, I think it is important, and Chair, Honourable Members, it is important, and Chair, to really indicate to you the work of DOAF itself talks to women issues. And let's look at issues of bucketer education. Bucketer education is a key priority for DOAF. With the eradication of buckets in the former settlement with the due date 31st of December, that area affects women, the safety of women, it affects the health of women. Access to water, it also affects the life of women because they don't have to travel long distances to get water. As they are managing their households, they don't have the burden of getting worried about access to water. Also, Honourable Members, as you are aware, we are busy establishing institutions in the department. We are establishing water users associations. We are establishing catchment management agencies. We are going to establish the infrastructure agency. all those institutions provide an opportunity to the department to deploy women in positions of decision making. And let's look at the first one that has been established, the Komati Catchment Management Agency. The chairperson of the agent of the CEO is a woman. So what I'm really trying to say, the establishment of institutions within DWARF present a leverage for DWARF to pursue and advance women in terms of decision making. Because if you put women in decision making, automatically that will open up opportunities for participation in planning, for participation in conceptualization, for participation in implementation, for participation in monitoring and evaluation. There's also a major impact, the planting of trees for food. This is also, it opens up a significant space for women to play a meaningful role and also to have benefits that will create sustainable impact on their lives. And this area talks to the branch forestry. As I've indicated to members, we are currently busy with this project of gender analysis and audit to ensure that DWARF legislation, there's going to be an audit of DWARF legislation. To what extent have we implemented the legislation? Because the legislation, the chairperson and members, is good. We've had the feedback that we've got good legislation, but the question is, to what extent have been able to take the legislation to a point of completion in terms of implementation? Also, it's going to review policies, programs, projects, and to ensure that our projects are in line with gender global instruments. And all the gender equality and gender equity issues are taken into consideration. So the person who's really working on this project has to come up with some findings that are going to help us as a department to see whether do we have to adjust some of the mechanisms in the department, do we have to redirect our energies and efforts to different areas. Those findings are going to be very helpful to shape the direction of the department in terms of advancement of women, development of women, and emancipation of women issues. I've just taken key projects in the department that are subjected talking to women issues. I have to acknowledge upfront to members that Working for Water is a key program of the department. However, I think it is important to mention that it doesn't bring about sustainable impact on women, because people are getting menial jobs. But you cannot, and even the contractor themselves, they have to have those contracts for 2 years. The question is, what happens after 2 years? And currently, I am aware that the DVG region and the manager for Working for Water are coming up with some interventions that are going to ensure that the Working for Water activities go beyond the short-term period. But they're really producing menial opportunities, not significant opportunities that can take people to another, to transit from the second economy. So people are not going to be able to transit to Working for Water, particularly the people are working, but your contractors may transit from the second economy to the first economy. But you've got the lower level people that may not necessarily transit from the second economy to the first economy. We have appointed 46,155 women, and we've got 2,236 women contractors in different regions. What I've not done, members, honorable members, when we come back, I think for the second round, we have to break these figures for you in terms of the region and in terms of the areas and in terms of the extent of work happening in each region. Now, instead of giving you global figures that are not necessarily indicating what is the comparison between the regions. We've also, through the Working for Water program, created value-added industry where people are making coffins and also making school desks. And we still have to give you numbers to say how many women are participating in these value-added industries and where are these women, in which regions do you find these women doing this type of work, and to what extent have they been able to benefit from these projects. So that type of intelligence is still being gathered. And also this program contributes to skills development, job creation and poverty alleviation. Chairperson, again, it doesn't really contribute to the extent of, for example, changing people's career path. You can't really argue and say, if you work in working for water, you are participating in the working for water program, and you are sort of an operator and a person, and that will take you to a professional level of career. It doesn't really bring those leverages. The economic empowerment dimension, Chairperson, as you are aware, we are busy with the building of the work there. And what we've done within that project, we have developed social economic plans, and these plans are aimed at ensuring that women have a 50% participation, and also we have also developed targets for procurement of the services within the development of the plan, and we are currently on the planning phase of the entire project. So what it means here, there is no, women are not necessarily involved in the doing, but the targets have been set, mechanisms have been put in place. So there are targets set, there are plans in place that will ensure women are participating, and these can be used as measure to monitor and evaluate the impact of the entire program. We also have specific projects, particularly within the branch infrastructure. The Kobe Stars, the Wubu Pal, Yankenso, and others. Also, these are the projects that open opportunities for women. What we need to do, Chairperson, as a department, also within this specific project, we need to be able to identify specific numbers of women participating and the level of participation and the extent of beneficiation of those women. So when we come for the second one, we need to give you specific of saying in each project, what is the participation, what is the involvement, what is the beneficiation, what are the outcomes of those beneficiations. We have appointed 2,949 employees, and out of this number, 534 are women. And also when you look at that number, 534, as compared to 2,949, the number is not big, and it's not 50% of that, and it's not even 25% of that. The question is now what we need to ask ourselves. What are the hindrances, what are the obstacles that are really restricting women from participating in those projects? So the issue of 50% has to be followed up to check what are the hindrances that are stopping women to participate to a level of 50%. The forestry project, Ms. Kumalo may get in here, the Chairperson, just to give more information for clarification. We have women-specific projects in forestry, and these include beekeeping projects, nurseries, charcoal production, grass cutting, marula harvesting, tree planting, greening, and others. Others are anticipated, particularly with the first project of trees for food. There's also an opportunity there. And when you talk about food for food, then you talk about food security, and you talk about issues of health within that project. And the anticipated representation of women is 50%. The skills development. Chairperson and honorable members, as you are aware, we have established the Learning Academy. What we've done, also within the Learning Academy, we set some targets for external bursaries. We have indicated also to academic institutions that they have to ensure that the 50% of the students participating in dwarf bursaries are women. And currently, within the professional trainees cadre that we have, we've got 32 females and 48 males. And these 32 females, these are people with engineering qualifications, scientific qualifications, and other technical areas. We also have learner interns. The learner interns, Chairperson, these are the students that require to do experiential learning in order for them to qualify for their qualifications and their diplomas. So we also have 5 females, and you find this type of arrangement within your engineering faculties and your scientific faculties. and external three graduates full time. We've got 7 females and 3 males. And the field of those professional trainees and also the bursaries, we've got engineering, it's engineering scientific and the technical. Technical, we're talking here of survey, we're talking of forestry and other related areas. I've come to an end without even noticing that I'll be at the end, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think also it's important for me to indicate to you that during the month of August for internal women in the department, we had a women in Durban for 2 days. We convened a women in Durban in Johannesburg where we got women from all the regions of the department, different levels from the people who are cleaning and the people who are doing the yard work. We got him into one venue, and the aim of that, the women in Dharma, was to establish the needs of the women as well. What do we have to do for them? What are their needs? And we said we had facilitation groups where we sat and we said, we need to get to, from the women themselves, what do they think are the key issues for them as well, and how do we begin to prioritize the needs of women as well. So we had a 2 day working session with all women of different levels, and we're even looking at women, the, you know, the women workers who have to retire, and we're asking ourselves what can they do in order to prepare them for the post-retirement activity. So we are busy now consolidating the input from that women in Dharma. We are going to be drafting a plan of action for presentation to the minister, and we have to be looking for money and the budget. There's issues also, Chairperson, that arose there is the issue of leadership, you know, development of leadership for women. Women want to be developed in the department. There's issues also of women wanting to get involved in economic empowerment projects outside the department. How do we begin to capacitate them now so that they understand what is taking place outside the department? They also capacitate women in terms of their own involvement within their own communities, within their own families. So we have identified 3 areas in the main. It's capacity building of women for professional life, life skills, and life beyond the work environment. We've also identified areas for the leadership, particularly identifying people, creating succession planning for women that have the potential to get into senior position. Was another difficult sometimes that you find. You advertise positions and you can't really find women, and if they get into interview sometimes they don't succeed the way you find men succeeding, particularly when you get to senior position. So we are looking at what are the hindrances in the space that make women not to succeed, particularly when they have to get to a chief director level and a DVD level. How then do we begin to create the platform for women to be prepared, the readiness to be able to execute functions at the senior management level? And also, Chairperson, we are also thinking of beginning to work with men in the department, because of what he says there, we've got all these good ideas about what should be done in the department for women, but there were, we did not have men in that, you know, in that venue. And we ask ourselves, how do we begin as a department to bring men within the department on board so that it doesn't become an issue of women against men? So we said, after that session, we need to have a session with men in the department, and we can convey to men, these are the aspirations of women, and women in the department want to work with men. And then we can also listen to the needs of the men in the department and try to bring the two groups together. Because gender, also we've always said, gender is not about women alone, it's about gender equality, it's about women and men, but you may have to introduce interventions that idea towards advancing women in order to level the playing field. So these are some of the things, Chairperson, that we've done. So we need to be coming back to you and giving you the findings of the gender analysis and audit report. Also, Chairperson, we are currently busy with the information management system, where we have 5 branches in the department, but we need to consolidate the information about women issues across the department. So the gender unit within the department, it's supposed to be the central custodian of information about women in the department. Currently, we are working towards that. We don't have a blueprint, Chairperson, where we can click a button and say to you, This is what is happening in the global draft. And we are working towards having a blueprint, a dashboard, that we can present to anybody, anytime, about what we are doing as a department, not, you know, as specific branches. So there's information management that is currently taking place that will allow us also an opportunity to present to you global information about the activities of GRAF that are geared towards women advancement and development. Those are some of the issues, Chairperson. When we come for the second time to you, we'll be able to give you specific information that is packaged in a proper way that will assist you to see what is happening in each region and to what extent we have been able to make impact in each region around women issues. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mjele. Are there any additions from your delegation? Vicky, welcome. I'm sure you can join us here.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable members. From the forester side, I would like to add that through the BEE Charter, we have acknowledged and are now looking into the implementation of the scorecard, especially where women are supposed to be involved. The forestry sector, as you may have noticed, has been largely previously labeled a male-dominant industry, but that is now changing, I would say, very quickly. That we are noticing with the participation of women in timber growing. We've got, at the moment, at least 18 women who are doing it well in terms of growing timber, looking into afforestation and other projects, as Ms. Nyele has already mentioned, in terms of coal making, charcoal and all that. We've got projects running from different regions, specifically Limpopo, the Eastern Cape, KZN as the main, and Mpumalanga as the main provinces that are looking at forestry activities. I would like also to highlight that we also have within the forestry sector women who are looking, women with disabilities also participating. We've got partially blind females, women participating in developing sensory trails and tacticals. And those are projects where we, as DWARF, as sector leader, we are taking a role in ensuring that we continue with extension work in those areas through the BEE Charter, and also ensuring that capacity building interventions are facilitated from the department, also bearing in mind that the charter has quite a big scorecard around capacity building or skills development. I would like just to highlight also that within the sector, DWARF, the forestry branch, is taking on a leadership role in terms of ensuring that legislation is quite known out there, and also that the sector adheres and complies to the legislation. We've got in the forestry side the National Forest Act, the National Felt Fire Forest Act, and also we are looking also into ensuring that the participatory forest management approach is also implemented accordingly, and ensuring that from that TFM approach will ensure enterprise development, especially looking at women in advancement. We're looking at women starting businesses within the forest industry. Basically, that is what I would like to add on to it. Thank you, Chair and Honorable Member.
I would like to add that properly into the presentation now. So that's a part of the practice that you have changed. Next time you put on the add on, you add it into the entire one. Do you think there's anything to add? Thank you, Chairperson. May I just take this opportunity to apologize, Chair. We were delayed in the traffic. But so far, Chair, I think my input it will come in a form of when members are asking questions, that's where I will clarify other questions. But so far, I'm fine. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, everyone. There we have it, honourable members. I'm going to open up the floor for the members to engage in the report that has been given. Who would like to start? And again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Thank you, Professor. Thanks very much for the good input that you are giving us. I'm quite catching up with this time. So much interest in development. The first question is from the forest perspective. I see all the projects as a women specific project in the forest to include the following. I just want to know how sustainable are these projects in terms of marketing or being sustainable, you know, of being quite viable that one can come and see them or can really go to the women to ask some of the women to train our people. Because I know in my organization we have beekeeping, we have grass cutting, we have marula harvesting. This we have, but they are not as sustainable as maybe the government, the department might have. I think I'm just quite interested in this. And the other thing is that on in your input, most of the issues that you have said, it's just like we are going to. We don't really see a concrete measures where you can say this is what we have done. This is what we have done. Every time it seems you have this nice vision, but you haven't really started to implement it. And I just don't know how much time frame did you give us that you would actually come with a concrete presentation that you would say, yes, we have achieved this policy and strategic framework, the impact of forest areas, current projects that you could actually tell us that this is what we are doing, this is what we can do, and when our chairperson says, let's go and see, we can find something that we can see, something that we can do. So every time the women are left at the bottom of the ladder. We always, people are preparing to do. I'm not actually coming with a dish to say, this is what the women have to do. And that's what my anxiety is about. So I just want to see you people coming with a concrete thing that we would actually appreciate as women in Parliament. Welcome to you. Voice number 2. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. And the presentation itself was very much welcome. Especially that it is said women are in decision making. I was excited. Chairperson, I just want to know. In the first presentation, I didn't hear about those who are disabled. So I would like to know if they have them and how many people are having them. My next one, just to know, Are they only concerned with food? What about the places where there is soil erosion?
It's okay that you can answer, but I think they're not necessarily when it comes to gender issues, and in particular women in this instance. Women doesn't equal disability also, so I don't think it's given that when they talk about women, that women must be lumped with disability. Disability must be in general. I thought you could make that point of clarification on what we actually mean when we speak with people. We always make the mistake of lumping all the other things to women and not necessarily asking it in its own right as a disability. Anything, Ms. Carla?
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the last presenter. Yes, Kumar. Thank you very much. You made mention of the fact that you are going to ensure that legislation is known out there to court. And then you enumerated, you know, the legislation that is in place. My question is what mechanism are you going to use? How are you going to communicate? And are you communicating with communities in terms of making sure that they know the legislation that is in place? And my next question would be, I'm afraid, you know, we're going to have the same questions but differently framed. The question of sustainability, GDG. You also made mention of the fact that there are menial, you know, you actually have the word menial opportunity, menial job. That is now, as far as working with water is concerned. Working for water now, right? Working for water. My question is, when we're looking at maybe in the long term, creating sustainable jobs, but starting with, you know, to me the word linear, you know, is sort of telling me, are we not able to create meaningful opportunities for women out there? Opportunities that could develop them within the sector. Develop them for permanence, as it were. And perhaps I would be interested to know what kind of engagement how they are being engaged out there. What do they do? What do they do really? And then there is also a question that should address, how do you address the weak link between programs and gender policies? It's exactly what my Lydia said, you know, but just differently framed. You have programs in place. How do they link up with your policy? I want to rest it there. I have other questions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We'll try and make a second round, Honorable Musana. Can you communicate?
Yeah. Thank you so much, Chair. But from the presentation, I think one must acknowledge that we've got information that DWARF is going to undertake a number of activities. Now, what I'd like to say is that, first of all, we must acknowledge and recognize the fact that the ANC government and I think it has made great strides in for the upliftment of women. I mean, the very fact that we've got just women presenters, I think that's a very clear indication. Normally you'll find it would be always men dominated. And I think it is very heartening to see so many women making presentations. And I think that should continue, and I think that is because of our policies, that is the ANC policies in regard for the upliftment of women. Now, firstly, one would like to know about the review on the gender policy after this long period. What is it that, if you're reviewing this policy, if you could throw some light as to why at this stage you are reviewing the gender policy. Well, of course, the big question about the bucket eradication. Now, one does not know to what extent the number of women that are engaged and involved and, you know, throughout the country, because as you know, that come 31st of December 2007, I think you ought to report to the nation, or at least to the executive, that we have eradicated the inhuman system of the bucket system. Now, on the question of tree planting, I think that is very encouraging, and I think it is something that we should undertake in a massive way. That is greening, and throw some more light on the question of, you say, planting of trees for food. Now, is it just food? That there's no money that are involved, and how many people are involved in this tree planting? Now, coming here, I think we also recognize the very many disabilities that women, not only in our country, but I think throughout the world, face. Because society itself is male-dominated, but I think we are setting the pace for women to make many strides. Let's take, for instance, a week ago, I don't know how many of you, well, on the TV, for the first time we saw, well, now mostly in particular an African woman, but she was just 21 years old, and she was the first commercial pilot. Now, that is very heartening. The fact is that she's made that move. And then also one saw that for the first time, again I must say, an African woman controlling or handling a helicopter in the SANDF. But can you imagine just one, but just, well, you couldn't even say it's a drop in the ocean. Now, we've got a long way to go. Now, coming here, having said that, I'd like to know also, how is DWARF addressing the issues of women in the industrial, you know, the timber plantation? How are you handling that? I think it is very important. About capacity building, I think that too is important. But I think, coming here, you recognize also that in the educational field, I think that's where it is, because if you talk about engineers, if you talk about architects, town planners, and so on, and CAs, I think women are far behind. The reason for that is because of education. Now, within DWARF, I think where you get women who are coming in this field, I think they ought to be government assistance to see that they climb the ladder much more quicker, and they can compete with the male counterparts. Yeah, I think I'll stop the comments here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've got several questions to ask, and my first question is actually based on slide number 8, Working for Water. It is third year, appointed 46,155 women employees per contract period. So I just wanted to find out exactly what's going to happen after this contract expire. When are they? Where are these women going to work for them to proceed with what they've learned as they were working as a contract worker? And the other question I need to ask is with regard to
access to water, slide number 6. I've discovered that when I was traveling around, especially in my constituency, there is a serious problem there in Sikukuni. And another question is that next to Sikukuni there is a very big flagged shallow dam, and the people in town of Krobosdal are getting water, but the rural women just like 10 kilometers from Krobosdal, they don't have women. They don't have water. They're still fetching water in inside of the river. They're sharing water with animals. So I just want to find out, as you have just presented how women are struggling now, how far are you dealing with that kind of a situation? And another thing is with regard to economic empowerment. You mentioned here that there are existing infrastructure that is going on, and people are waiting in Krobosdal, Lizubu, and Pal and Jamshedpur. So I just want to find out how far are you with regard to that, and how many people are involved, especially in terms of, as you have indicated, that women are more given the opportunity to take over and to get some of the employment there. And another question with regard to the forestry: are there any awareness programs or framework in place to educate women in the forestry sector of issues around afforestation and deforestation and its impact on their sustainable livelihoods if they enter the economics and forestry? So we need to find out, because if women are empowered in that regard, we need to find out exactly how far are they developing in terms of the economics, and in terms of how they develop business wise. And I also want to know about all the projects that you've mentioned here, as to whether are they sustainable. What time frame are you giving to this project to make an impact in the lives of women, especially in the rural areas, because women in the rural areas are the ones who are seriously affected. Thank you very much.
Another issue with regards to this Komati catchment area, so indicated to us that the chairperson is a woman. How many other people are there, so that we know exactly how many women are there? I know there are some problems also now with regards to that catchment area. Coming to the forest, slide number 10. You are saying the women are involved in this project. They are involved as well. Are they waiting here? Are they business people, or what is it? If I may find out from the department, maybe are there any plans of providing skills to women so that they can enter into entrepreneurship in the near future?
Thanks, honorable members, and thanks, Chairperson. I think from the onset, Chairperson and honorable members, I have to explain to you that we have started, and I must acknowledge that we have not provided specific information to you. Because currently what we are doing, we are busy with an information management system.
And I also indicated that ideally we should have come to you with the number of women in each region, the extent of their participation, the nature of their beneficiation, and the sustainability of each project. We are currently busy with that. We have started the project of gender analysis and gender audit. We have started with that project in July. And I wanted to appeal to you, to say to the members, we are, have taken note of the issue. What is coming out there? You want to know exactly the time of the project, step, how long is it going to take? We talk to the issue of sustainability. And also, where is this project? And what is it talking to in terms of the women issue? And what is the extent of the participation of women in decision-making in the production level, in the mid level? So I just want from the onset to say to honorable members, we have not prepared that information as the slides are showing, but I'm committing to you and promising you that the information is supposed to come for the second round. We have specific information that is packaged properly to meet the needs of the portfolio committee. However, let me just respond to the issue. The issue of sustainability, you are quite correct. The working for water program, each contractor has a 2-year period, and they must exit. It wasn't really the conceptualization of that project wasn't geared towards long-term sustainability. It's more a safety net, sort of an intervention. And the training skills people are really given are just the skills of how to clear the alien plants. They are given skills on HIV/AIDS, they are given life skills, they are given skills on financial skills, how to manage their own budget, the money they get in there. But what has been out of fact evident from the working for water is that, particularly when it comes to job creation, after 2 years, then the exit strategy kicks off. However, there is also an element of enterprise development, which has a long-term effect. Because people who put companies to make coffins and school desks, those people can do that for a long time. But those also are still at a lower level of incubation. They have not matured to a level where those contractors are able to employ thousands. When we talk about massification, we are not even in those value-added industries. We are not at the level of massification. I've also indicated to members, this is something that was discussed during our departmental report, to say, how do we take the working for water program to another level of sustainability? I think we have really, in the department, realized that it's not getting us to the next level, where I've said also, people transiting, are they able to transit from the second economy to the third economy? Are you able to move them? So there is that acknowledgement. However, the DDG regime and the manager for working for water are currently crafting interventions that are going to take the working for water program to another level. The issues of the permanency, also the people that are trained there, one has to really explain that they can't find, it's not a case where you prefer someone to get a job to be an admin officer, you get somebody maybe to be a skilled person in a specific area. These are just skills for, their social activities and also how to do the job within the working for water. The program itself is not geared towards developing skills that are taking people to another level. And these are some of the things that are currently being addressed. Within that program, there's a need. I think the department has identified the need to take the program to another level. In terms of access to water, Chairperson, I must be honest, we have to come back with the answer to the Sikukuni, the access to water of the rural women around Sikukuni. We may have to contact the DDG region to get information. We are unable to respond to that. When we come back, we have to respond to that one. How far are we and how many people are involved? And it's sort of, I'll say, Chairperson, most of the questions are really talking to the whole notion of information management. The sustainability, how many people, how many women are there, all the questions, most of the questions that
members are asking, they are really saying, by the message I'm getting, they're saying the presentation should be talking to specific programs and what is that project all about. For example, you may find that some of the water projects, you're not necessarily building a scheme, you're not necessarily building a dam, but you are refurbishing a pipeline, you are refurbishing a canal. So even the type of projects that you're dealing with are not necessarily huge projects, because others are about refurbishment, others about rehabilitation, and others about expansion of water systems. So also the extent of your absorption, to what extent can you absorb people to work, will depend on the nature of the project that will be undertaken. So those are just some of the issues I sort of felt it's important to come up front to members and say that type of information. We must come back and say this project is about refurbishment of a scheme, this project is about rehabilitation of a scheme, this project is about expansion of a scheme. So we need to be talking to those things. But we don't have that information, and I can promise members to say when we come for the next session, at least we have a clear understanding of the type of information and also how do we begin to package information in a manner that allows you to get a sense of progression in terms of human advancement. Chairperson, the Ecomati, I'm also much honored to chairperson with this one. We are currently busy, you are aware, there are people in the department who are performing those functions that are related to checking money. So before we employ people from outside, we must transfer the staff from Dwarf. We are currently busy with the process of transferring staff from Dwarf, Mpumalanga office, to the catchment management area. Also, when we come back, we have to provide with information how many women have been absorbed within the new catchment management agency. Also, the question was around the forestry project, and that we sort of, in those cases, particularly the specific ones, the type of work people are doing are not necessarily management positions that are occupied. They are really at a level of production. The question then arises, that will arise, the question, what do you do to prepare them to move to another level of career progression? That's going to become something that we have to think about in the department. But the focus currently department is really around production in those projects. But we need to be thinking to say, how do you take them to the next level? And the same question has arisen within the working for water project to say, how do we then begin to take people to another level of career progression? And I think these are the debates and these are the issues in the department that we are really trying to find answers to. And the issue also around the strategic framework, also chapter the policy, the gender control club was developed, as I said, during the times of Minister Kada Asman. A lot of things have happened. And a lot of changes have taken place. Dwarf is undergoing major restructuring, institutional reform. We are creating new institutions. The policy has to be revisited so that it aligns to what is taking place currently within the department. So that was the reason of really reviewing the policy. And then we need to also to go back to say, in terms of the strategic considerations that were contained in that policy, to what extent as well we've been able to leave that policy. And that type of information also we are going to get from the project that is underway. The strategic framework on gender and women empowerment. Dwarf has never had the strategy, the first time. And this was really triggered by the minister to say, why are we not having a strategy that is talking to gender equality and women empowerment? And we've never had a strategic framework specifically talking to them. So it's the first time that we are going to have a strategic framework that will really be, and that it will be sort of an instrument that enhances your gender policy, which is really a broad statement of intent. And then the strategy itself is going to zoom into specifics to say what exactly are we going to be doing in which areas and what will be the outcomes of that. Thanks, Chairperson. I'll hand over to Katie to talk around forestry.
And then if the other two want to add also. Thank you, Chair. Honorable members. In terms of forestry, maybe to look at sustainability issues first. I would mention that the projects that the women are involved in are very much sustainable. WWF is at the moment looking, the forestry branch, looking at developing a forestry development agency. This agency is going to actually be the driver of all these projects, where it's going to look at all the initiatives that ensure that forestry resources, plantations, natural forests, woodlands, trees and forests across the board are best utilized for economic benefit for all, especially the poor, looking at women. Especially noting that in the forestry side, the communities that are closer to plantations and forests are mostly in the rural areas, where you find that households are headed by women, and the men have gone up to Visay, to Gauteng and other areas, even areas in terms of looking for work. So the women there are empowered through information sessions. A question was raised in terms of how do we ensure that information reaches the women there. DWARF, through the different programs, has projects, awareness raising projects or campaigns that are running. The media is involved. We've got a campaign such as ABO Week. And as you know, this is ABO Week was launched by the minister and the president in Karankua in Gauteng. And until Friday, a lot of activities will be engaged in by the women in the pursuit of greening our country. And the department has committed itself to ensuring that over 1 million trees will be planted. These trees are going to include fruit trees. At least we are hoping that more of the trees will be fruit trees to ensure that the poor can benefit in the future from those trees to alleviate hunger and therefore eradicate poverty as the tree grows. And also looking at beautifying our own country. A question was asked in terms of why only fruit trees. Fruit trees is for the basis of alleviating hunger, definitely, and poverty. But also we are actually planting indigenous trees to ensure that we still have forests, and it's not only for commercial purposes, but also for the greening of our country. To move on to capacity building initiatives, DWARF as sector leader has just recently, last month, launched a skills development forum for the forestry sector. It was launched in Durban, and all the forestry stakeholders or the forest industry education and training authority was involved. Actually, the CETA, that is the forest education industries and training authority, is actually in partnership with the forestry branch in ensuring that DWARF is more visible in driving skills development, especially basing it from the charter, ensuring that skills is prioritized and linking it to ASGISA and GIPSA, definitely ensuring that the projects will be in that line. And therefore, through that is done through capacity development strategy that the forestry branch has developed in 2005, and now it's in the implementation phase, where it's looking at the three spheres. These spheres are we're looking at our own internal forestry employees within DWARF. We're also looking at communities, schools, universities, tertiary institutions, and training authorities or training associations that are there within the forestry side. And the other sphere is capacitation of stakeholders. We've got our Saptis Mondis, Hans Merenskis, the big shots in the forest industry, who are mainly looking at the commercial side of the forestry side. But what we are saying to them is to ensure that legislation, I'm coming back to your question, say that how are we going to ensure that the legislation is, people are informed about it and therefore comply to its provisions. What we're doing there is that within DWARF, through the skills development framework that is built within the capacity development strategy of the forestry branch, we are aiming at ensuring that all the three legislations being trained in what we call information sessions. The thorough training that is happening within the legislation is starting at within, where we've developed actually training modules on all these legislations. We've got guidelines on participatory forest management, where we have trained communities since 2003 to date, when the forestry branch was still graced by the availability of the two donors, that was Danida and DFID, from 2003. A lot of capacity building programs and lessons were learned through that time when we had funding from these two donors. And quite a number of communities were trained on all these legislations, and also lessees, those who are leasing and rentals and all that in terms of the management of these lease rentals. Just to go on in terms of capacity building is that through that skills development forum that has been launched last month in Durban, we agreed with the forestry sector, all the stakeholders, that it's going to be a vehicle that is going to look at addressing all the challenges that forestry is facing. At the moment, forestry has also been identified as a critical scarce skill in the gypsum list. You know, those nine that were identified by the deputy president and her team.
Can I ask, see the difficulty with your answers is that, and I'm sorry to stop you, but none of it is in there. And it's really valuable information that you are giving to us. And I think you should maybe find a different formulation as to how you would want to communicate this to the members, because I don't think we can expect the members to write down all of these things. We expect that that should be in the presentation. So I want to ask you to stop and rather, amongst yourselves, decide by when can you bring this information to the committee. So that we can have a meaningful discussion. This one is not helping. I can see you're going to go on for another 10 minutes.
Thank you, Captain. Thank you, honorable member. Captain, there's a question here which is being asked by honorable member. She is asking that in the community, in the forest, how are women involved? And linked to that, another member asked a question to say, is DWARF doing something to capacitate those women that are working in the forest? Currently, honorable members in the chairperson, last year I took a visit and visited one of the forest plantations in Limpopo, where we met with women who are contractors who are working in the plantation. Those are that they are removing those invasive plant alienation. But as we were engaging women there, we have found that, honorable members, the conditions that they were working on, they were not good conditions. So, therefore, it requires us as the department, more especially as the gender directorate, to sit down and think about how are we going to address issues that those women raise. Because first of all, they didn't have, I will use the word, sanitation, you know, the bathroom where they can assist themselves. Another thing that when I was engaging with women, they said it's even not safe, you know, for them as men to work until. So what I'm saying, honorable members, we are in discussion of those issues, and one of the things that the minister said to us in her priorities in the flagship, she said, as a water affairs and forestry, we need to formalize women, to form an organization that will be called Women in Water Sanitation and Forestry. That organization, because we have those women who have projects, who have tenders, working in the water sector, working in the forestry sector, they need to be formalized so that those women, when they want to discuss issues that affect their sector, they have a home where they can discuss, and they can also advise the portfolio committee on, you know, on new developments, on forestry, on water, on sanitation. So what I'm saying, honorable members, we are in a discussion. Definitely, we will come back and give you the tangible results on all the questions that we have asked. But currently, we are still cleaning our house in order, so that when we move knowing exactly that this is what we want and this is what we want to achieve in terms of gender and disability. Another question, honorable member, that we have asked. I think currently on June we have employed an assistant director who's heading the disability and sub-directorate. Currently, he is busy doing the physical assessment of all the buildings of SWAF. I know I'm just mentioning this to honorable members, it's not in this presentation. He had the first meeting at Limpopo where they were discussing how are they going to take up issues of issues of disability as the directorate. So the assistant director is busy, he's going to go in all provinces and find out the status of the disability within the
society.
He's reporting something which is not in the presentation, of which we were not sure of what is he talking about.
Can I, on that, your point of order is taken. Can I, honorable members, ask, in the light of the responses that we have received, can I ask that, instead of us asking for another round of questions, if you can support that we put the following to the department? That I think that they have expressed themselves the fact that not all is well in the unit. And if that is the case, that not all is well, there isn't coherency from that yet.
your sustainability question is not going to be answered, and so on. How many women have got access to water around the country? Doesn't it appear to be coming through? That we should maybe guide the department in this instance, and say to the department that, well, I was quite heartened with the minister's speech on Friday at the Women in Water Awards and the issues that she has raised, and I'm afraid none of it is coming through, in fact, in what you are saying. And the members are sitting with the minister's speech there, and that's why they're asking you all of these questions, because the minister has spoken. And maybe what we should say is, everyone, honorable members and the department, we don't think this is an issue that we can just take lightly, that we can afford easily not to give it the attention that is required, including both financial and human resources. I was tempted to ask, in your budget, how much has been set aside for all of us? And so I got the fair memory of what I saw in the budget. So I'm not going to talk about that. What we would want to know is, at least, we think that the department needs to you know, go back and take the following into consideration. I am not convinced that in legislation all is bad. I think it's the implementation of the legislation that is not coming through. And secondly, insofar as the policies are concerned, again, how can we evaluate the policies and the legislation in such a way, all your acts are 10 years old, how can we now evaluate, bearing in mind that there's a decade that has passed us, and what are the issues that need to be raised from a gender point of view, and women in particular in this instance, looking at the legislation that we have. The National Water Act speaks to the equality and so on. But then in Sikukuni, there are women that don't have water. Now how does the Act assist us in that instance? The emerging farmers don't have water, and the Water User Association are allocating in such a way that the big farmers are getting in, not the emerging ones. And the majority of them are women. So we think that that's the first starting point that we would want to ask, so that you go back to and evaluate in relation to what are the instruments. And so the Act is the first instrument, the Act, not the only the National Water. The acts are the instruments. In forestry, you know, I can't remember the clauses that I saw in there that speak to women in particular. But then, we must now say in the act, how do we advance the issue of women? And we don't want women to pick up sticks in forestry. We don't want women to be emerging until that kingdom comes. And we don't want women in forestry to have these little jobs, we say, honorable Masala, and they stay in the particular bracket of the economy, and that is all that they do. We're not saying that they must also take over Mondi and Tati and so on, but very clearly it said that South Africa, well, in fact, in Parliament, we believe doing a cooperative bank vote. How are you inputting into that? How have you made input into that? And how can we say that women are now going to benefit from this cooperative vote? But have you been able to establish a cooperative yourself, both in water, sanitation, and in forestry? And so I think, you know, we should look at what are the tools that have been put out there this last 10 years and that are around, and that maybe we are not using sufficiently. That's the second one that I want to say. Insofar as empowerment are concerned, what are the tools that we're using on empowerment? We're saying what we're saying because we have the Working for Water and Forest and
5 years before us, last week or before, and we had, what was the other one that we had? Don't talk about the emerging farmers, it was a disaster, so don't get into a bad massage. We had all of them lost last year. Now, when we spoke about extended public work program, you know, we didn't. We asked a simple question. In fact, the minister must answer the question now this afternoon on extended public and the inability of skills development and the strategy thereof. The second question in the House today. We're not hearing, you know, what are we doing with regards to the quotas are there of how many women we need to have there. But what does those quotas mean? And how do they bring about changes? So I think, you know, there is really much that we need to do. We are happy to sit down with you and work out a little bit more things. But we think, you know, it's an area far too important for this country because the majority of people in this country are women. And the department must take that into consideration. Whatever they do needs to take that into consideration. And again, as you do all this institutional reform stuff, how are we biased towards things? Because when you look at the institutional reform and the impact that it needs to make on women, well, obviously, how do you bring in the question of poverty eradication, and how do you bring in the question of women's empowerment? And by that, we don't mean we want just the women on the road. South Africa is doing very well on, you know, when we take women onto all sorts of questions. I think we must now start doing other things. It's a good thing that we've done, we've made strides, but that's the public sector we're talking about, not the private sector. But what we need to do now is we've got to eradicate poverty for women. We've got to empower them, we've got to let them be in the economy, and we've got to allow them to use the tools that they need. I mean, in your licensing department, you know, not much that are coming out. They may not go on and on and on and on. I think the point that I'm making is that we should discuss what are the issues that we're looking at. We were very happy to hear that at least WAF won the award, and Charmy in particular won the award in the public sector of being the greatest public servant. And I'm sure honourable members, you will join me in saying that we need to convey to our congratulations this time, because we should be delighted about the fact that there is a woman in the water and forestry department that is standing out amongst all the public servants in the country. And so I think what we need to do, you know, we're not even talking about what we're doing with women and Africa here, because the international agenda can't be excluded. How do we use what we have in relation to that? How do we use the question of indigenous knowledge and the fact that what fights for the fact that we can make sure that, you know, they, what is the thing that the Department of Trade and Industry does? They register the patents and so on. And what must fight to fight, good fight for women in this regard. And forestry, I think it's scandalous that, you know, in forestry, I was talking to some of the people that won the awards on Friday, and Saturday morning I was talking to some of them, and they were telling me about the difficulties that they are having. So whilst we're giving them the awards, how do we take them further? We can't give them an award and then they're gone, next year they come and give them more awards, and then they're gone. We've got to say, what do we do from year on year? And we must start with the youth awards. It must have that same focus, because it's young women that we want to see coming through there. And we start with the women in awards. Brilliant awards that you're giving, really wonderful. I mean, the women will be ecstatic about the fact that the department are doing this thing. How do we take the process further with them? I'm not saying you shouldn't have the awards, but how do we make sure that we now showcase them, we help them, we get them into advertising, you know, into all of these things, so that we truly can speak of the fact that we are using the awards to make some changes. And so I can go on and on and on and on on the members, and I don't want to take up any more of the time. We really want to ask that we focus in relation to the services also, We went on oversight, and everywhere that we went, we see that we don't take into consideration the plight of women and children when they do sanitation. Like playing for the fever, months it has come for me. You know, a disabled person can't get in the way of it's gone. And really, who is doing oversight in the department on when they roll out the services, both water and sanitation? You don't throw the toilet way over there and think that the older person, the disabled person, the young child, must now, in the middle of the night, when they are difficult, they must now walk to over there. It's not gender sensitive in so far as, and we've been talking to the department over and over about this, but we don't see it coming through. And so we would plead that there must be somebody that has got a gender focal, that has a gender trained with a gender focal eye, trained to look at how you deliver these services and actually eradicate the buckets and policies and more. And, well, of course, you've spoken about what you've done on forestry. All the questions that the members ask. How are you developing the economic development opportunities? How are you establishing the cooperatives with small scale? Most people are small, they don't have money, and the national trade is actually so can't just borrow money anymore. How do we overcome these things, and we say that we are creating a vehicle for people, so that you take people out of this in forestry, they don't just say the small scale, you know, not having the real stick in forestry. And throughout all of this, how do we make sure that we are biased towards the issue of HIV and AIDS insofar as women are concerned, in allocation of water, in what we do in forestry, in what we do in sanitation and so on. If you like, we can write up an entire thing for the department and give it to you. But I've really listened to everyone and the questions that the members have asked. And if we're honest with ourselves, questions haven't been answered. We have told us that it's the other house. We have told us that you're still going to come back and so on. So we're asking you, as you come back to the following things as we have described here. And of course, we are open to our further engagement with yourself on how do we take the process forward? How do we take bring back the work that we should have? Because you are one of the departments that is pioneering in your legislation with regards to gender equality. And how do we bring that and make that similar? Other members, I'm sorry if I've gone on and on and on, but I just thought I'd really painfully listen to all of your questions and the answers. But you have the last say.
I was just going to say that given the important part of the topic, because this is an issue that would help us immensely when we do constituency work. One would really be very anxious to know as to when we can get to feedback from the department. It's extremely, you know, it's so important for us that we actually have got to, as soon as possible, be able to engage with this kind of thing. Get a sense of how institutional reform is in work, you know, is benefiting or has benefited women, so that we talk to the progress made on the advancement of women in work, close to beautiful timelines.
Thank you again, Chairperson. I think Honourable members have just indicated, and you also put in a very text. But I think people on the ground, they want information. That's why we have this problem with the people marching. They want to see tangible things happening where they are staying. So for us, every time talking, putting strategies on the table, but those strategies not being implemented, doesn't also show something on the people, show the people on the ground. And that's where the people come to us and hammer us. You are only saying you represent us, but there is nothing that is happening to our life, to change our life. So I think maybe the government, when they come to people to us, they have to give us something that is concrete, that is changeable, that we can see. And also, when we go there, we can also see exactly what is happening on the ground. But if we talk without action, we might end up another decade talking but without action. I don't think that's going to lead us anywhere. Thank you.
Process look like. And they really should be right from our legislation and from our authority and speak to our citizens. I was seeing at the television last night to see how people were rolling those Georgia things. Empty. And it just can't be. You know, we obviously going to engage with the department to give us answers on those empty things that we saw there, because we were in that problem not too long ago, and we saw the situation. It can't be that we have that situation. And we would want to invite the department to look at the oversight report that the committee has put, because we told you what is happening in KwaZulu-Natal with that dam, where people are queuing through the night to have water. And it's not people, it's women. They do shift. They stand there, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, and others come 1 o'clock, others go 8 o'clock at night, and the others go through the night to stand there. Not selling anything, to get water. Now, you see, there are women that are there. So that situation that we have seen, all of it is in our report. We were in the Northwest, we're still busy with the report. We were in the Pacific, we've done that report. No, we've done the report. We will still deal with it in the committee. On next week, we will deal with and finalize the Pacific report. No, we've dealt with it. We will make sure that it gets into the ATP from next week. We've gone to housing and so on, and you know those things are there in our reports of what is said. And we have said all of these things in the debate that we had when we had the participate. So we're asking, you know, there is a resource immediately of what the members have said of what we've seen when we've gone on oversight. And I do think that we would be extremely happy with in 2 weeks' time if you put together something for us that says, this is how you're going to tackle this thing, this is how you move forward. And so by the time when you come report to the committee again, there is something that has been put in place, because it is really wrong of the committee to not say something about the fact that we're doing very well. You know, on Saturday when the president was there, plant trees and so on. Well, I don't know why it's called the once in a great customer. What's great in English?
Right.
Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Yeah, one of the three things, right, is absolutely gender sensitive of men, calling a woman a poison. Poison. Yeah, fucking grapefruit. I don't like the name because it says that a woman that is a bride is poison. That's literally what it means. It's a terrible name. So I was saying that on you know, when we were together on Saturday and the president was looking at all of us and he just made a remark. He said, look at all of these people. They are all women. Ministers are women. The chair of the committee is a woman. The IC chair was there, she's a woman. And he was remarking about how in this industry she's looking at the leadership using all women. And, you know, we can't fail those kind of compliments that we get. That the president said of us on Saturday. And then, you know, we don't produce it in whichever way. Honorable members, before we say something, let me just allow the DDG to say something and then one or two other things. We have not been hard with you, we just,
okay. Thank you very much, thanks, honorable members. I think that you've given us sufficient information, and we will keep in touch with the office just to clarify if you've got any issues to clarify. But we promise we'll come back to you with the information package in a way that will help you to your oversight responsibility. So thank you for the opportunity.
Honourable members, I think somebody asked on the other day, yes, you have indicated that you are coming with Kamara on the other day activity. The practical arrangements are, I don't know if I can send the information. It's 11 o'clock and we are here. Can I ask Raja to make contact with all of you because I saw your names all on the list. You all are very surprised me. I saw your names all on the list that you are coming with your 8 o'clock tomorrow. Then we will be continuing with planting with you, asking forward towards the Moulin Tree tomorrow. And in particular, the aspect of listening to some native health at the Thompson College. That's where we all are going at the bottom. We need to go to there ourselves, in the community, and some of that.
Roger, please make sure that the members have the final funding information about the we trust that in your own focus, that you make your own innovation, that you're being part of the self-important. Honorable Milano, was your hand up?
No. In fact, I was going to ask about this because I never had anybody mention it.
We asked that the committee secretariat get to a final communication with all the members on the final arrangements and everything else. Is that okay? On that note, honorable members, thank you very much. We'll see each other not Friday, we'll see each other next Wednesday.
Not Friday.
No, not Friday, the meeting at